You got a Bible this morning, I'm going to try again. Numbers chapter number 21. It's a joy to be saved. I'd rather be saved than anything I know this morning. I'm not caught up into religion. I'm all about trying to find the will of God for this place. Reminding Him that deserves all the honor and all the praise. I love to deer hunt much as anybody in the building. I love to golf more than most that's in the building. But when I hit them steps, I put all that aside. I'm trying to find the mind of God for this service. Numbers 21, and when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, that he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoner. Boy, that's just like our enemies of the soul. We ain't got to be doing nothing for God, just heading that direction, and we always find opposition. Don't take you long after you're saved, you realize that there's great opposition of living for God. Then we find in verse 2, and Israel vowed a vow. We better be careful what we say to him, because he's writing it all down. Amen. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou would indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I'll utterly destroy their cities. And so the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel. I'm glad we got a God can bend His ear our way. I'd love to stop right there and preach about an hour and a half. Some of y'all would miss dinner today. Just because God ain't a-doing nothing don't mean He ain't a-listening. And so the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, and He still is. A lot of y'all may have different views of the thing that's going on with Syria. I think our eyes ought to be toward Israel. Them folks been fighting all their life. They ain't going to quit fighting. We've got people in our country starving. But you always remember this. When a leadership withdraws from Israel, we're sunk. The Bible said they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged. Watch this now. Because of the way. It's not so much things that's in the way, it's things that get in the way. Yeah, it's not things in the way bothers me. It's things that get in the way. People spank against God and against their preacher, Moses. They said, why you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Well, light bread's pretty good when you're hungry. I took my little grandboy fishing this week. Man said, now you can bring him fishing. Said, you bring a loaf of bread with you. And said, you just ball it up, put it on the hook, and you'll catch them fast as you throw out there. I took that little curly-head fella out there and set him down by the fish bait, and I looked, and he was eating the fish bait. Amen. The light bread, he is eating it up. I said, son, we ain't going to catch no fish. You keep eating the bait up. Somebody said to me. Well, verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray the Lord that He'd take away the serpents from us. And Moses was a great man, a very forgiving man. I wonder, folks come to you and apologize, could you pray for them? So he prayed for the people. Boy, it's hard to do something for somebody when they got their mouth on you. And it ain't what they call you, it's what you answer to. And the Lord said to Moses, make you a fiery serpent. Set him on a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that's bitten, when he looketh upon it, he shall live. Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Obeth. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. Well, thank you for this time together, Lord. How you've blessed us here, and I want to thank you now. I pray you'd touch the preaching. Lord, like only you can touch it, and like only you can help me. I pray you'd bring the things to my mind, Lord, you'd have me to say, and the things you would not, I pray they wouldn't even come to my mind. Help me to mind you today. I pray and ask you, let us be a blessing to your people. We love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This morning I'm interested in verse number 9 out of this passage because it says, Moses made a serpent of brass and he put it on a pole. It came to pass if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld or when he looked on the serpent of brass, he lived. And I'd like to preach on this simple subject. On just one look is all it took. Just one look is all it took. Now, these children of Israel, Moses has delivered them. God put a man of God in their path to help them. Let me tell you, God's not put a man of God in your path to hurt you, but to help you. And if your man of God don't tell you the truth, then you can't get any help from error. Only truth will help you. Jesus said, truth shall set you free. And so we see, first of all, there's the conduct of the people in verses 4 and 5. The Bible said they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now in this conduct, you'll see, first of all, their attitude. Now there was a lot of discouragement. What had happened was a king came and met them and sort of sidetracked their path. They had a straight line to go to, but something got in the way and they had a detour. And by that detour, there were some extra miles that was added to their journey. Now, I don't know about you all, but the attitude about the way, it brought a lot of discouragement. And I've noticed this, it takes much patience to walk in the way of God. A lot of times things get in our way and we think, well, that's an accident. No, it's not. God's so big, He's above your accident. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. And there are some things that come up in our lives that I don't understand, nor do I have the answers for. But it is as if Brother Randy had already said this morning, we have a God that can be trusted. And so we find out the conduct of this people. We find their attitude. They got very discouraged. Not only their attitude, but you'll notice secondly their animosity. And verse number 5, they went to blaming God for all of their troubles. Now, you'll notice what they said in verse 5, and the people spake against God. Now, isn't it amazing that God gets blamed for many of our troubles? But we seldom blame ourselves. But when things go well, we seldom thank God. We say, well, we'll just go to the lake this Sunday. Or, man, we'll just go down the beach, you know. My Lord, I'm glad folks is good. And I ain't preaching against vacation. But, honey, when your vacation becomes every Sunday, your vacation's got too big. A And so I wonder when things go bad, do we ever go to blaming ourselves instead of blaming God? God's easy to be blamed. But I found this, that if we'd quit pointing our finger at God and turn where the blame's really at, we'd fix a lot of our situation. Their attitude and their animosity and then their accusations. You'll notice this. When they spake against God, they're talking about somebody else and against Moses. Now here's a man that had led them out of the bondage of Pharaoh, and they was blaming him for their hard times. It may be they hadn't listened to what he had to say. I think a lot of times people love to blame things, and some of you right now, you're right on the balance of falling out of this church and you're just hunting this preacher to hurt your feelings. Guess what? You're on the way out. And you're on the way out because your feelings, you done put them on your shoulder. Now you're hunting a reason not to come to church. And if it won't be me, it'll be somebody else in the foyer that'll say something to your children. Some of you better go to getting some thick skin and some thick hide, honey, or you're going to be out in the world and you'll never get no help for your life. People down at the ball game offend you, but you keep a flocking down there. They steal your parking spot. You're paying $4 for a Coca-Cola that they got 13 cents in, and you don't complain about your money down there. You just hunting excuses, and you need to chunk excuses and get right with God. You're not the only one have a hard time. It ain't God's fault. God's been good to you. You're not in hell with your back broke this morning. There's the conduct of the people. Their attitude, their animosity. Boy, wouldn't it be amazing if they'd quit talking about the man of God and go to talking to God about the man of God. Things might would have shaped up a little different. Then you'll notice their attitude, their animosity, and their accusations. You know something? Now, if Moses wouldn't have let them out of Egypt, they would have died. But I've noticed this, something about carnal critics. They don't need facts to criticize God's man. It'd be so refreshing if somebody comes and said, "Now I want to hear your side. I want to hear your wife's side." Somebody acts stupid, then you're going to take their advice and their side. You better get your head screwed on. Don't let stupid lead you astray. Some of you ladies on your job, some old harlot trying to give you advice about trying to how to have a home. Well, if she's the authority, why is her home in shambles? Conduct of the people. Not only their attitude and their animosity and the accusations, but look at their appraisals in verse 5. The Bible said, "There's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And I want to say this, it was not the food. It was the appetite. Y'all look like you need some preaching up in here this morning. I said it wasn't the food, but it was the appetite. For in the book of Psalms, the Bible said God is so good to them people that He sent them angels' food. And they walked out of their tent every morning, and there on the ground looked like it snowed in the night. And God is so good, they reached down and got their whole day supplies, and they're crying, friend. It wasn't the food, it was their appetite. It's not the food here, it's your appetite. I've heard people say, "Well, I'm a leaving, I'm not being fed." Well, put your head in the trough. your flesh ain't going to be fed here. Old Joel Osteen, friend, he's out there, the largest church in America. He ain't got the guts or grits to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They ought to melt and tar and feather that idiot. He's a propping up the flesh, motivational speaker. Y'all be sure to leave your tie, though, at the back. I'm going to make you feel good about coming to the seminar. I don't need nobody to prop up this flesh. I need somebody to help me kill this flesh. This flesh has always been enmity against God. You'll never change this flesh. You'll never train this flesh to love God. You better be killing flesh. He said, be crucified daily. Our worldly appetites have got so big. I noticed yesterday there was a college football record in attendance that had beat any NFL game that happened yesterday up north. They showed the film and it looked like a coliseum. People's gone ball game crazy. You don't even want the man of God to have an hour to tell you how to get to heaven and your children out of hell. You're crazy. Paying $85 a ticket to sit in the boiling sun. Some redneck spill their beer on you. I'd want to pop his jaws and get in jail for I left. I'm staying out of them crazy places. Quit looking at me like you ain't heard no preaching. Some of you need some preaching. You better realize where your bread's done got buttered. Some of you done got too big for your britches. God's going to take you down a notch or two. And when you hit the ground, you got some of that road rash and they strip that gauze off, He's going to get your attention. Down there in the mercery room, I was fishing the other day, me and my son-in-law. I was using a wide-gap hook. And this woman reminded me of some of my church members I met in the mercy room. That fish shook his head. That hook went to the bone. There I was with a reel and a fish in this hand, wondering what to do. I had my son-in-law to snap that line off and I couldn't get it out. Y'all ever had something you just couldn't get out? I went in the mercy room, had a piece of line hanging down like this. I thought she was one of our church members. She looked at me and said, "Ooh, that hurt." Well, I met my dummy for the day. Boy, isn't it amazing how we can get discouraged in the way. Start to blame everybody. But who we ought to be blaming? God ain't done nothing to you. God's helped you. God's protected you. God's blessed you. God's fed you. And when you didn't know how you was going to do the last thing, God stepped up and helped you. And He's worthy of all of our praise. And we need to quit talking bad about our God. Oh, He's been good to me. He's given some of y'all children the most precious. And there's ladies in our church would love to have the opportunity some of you have. There's some fathers in this church would love to have the opportunity some of you young men have. Boy, God's been good. Matter of fact, I say this respectfully. Sister Marcelle, Brother Donald, I didn't I didn't know how good I had it till I left Mama's house. I come over Mont Eagle Mountain, fell in love. All of a sudden, there's bills started coming in. Well, what'd I do with these? Married a wife. Go to pouting a little bit. What in the world I do with this? And then had young'uns get crossways with you. One, you pop your finger and they'd hit the floor and cry. Another, you pop your finger and they say, come get you some. Didn't know how good. And that's just the way I'm afraid some of you are going to get. You don't realize how good you have it. The way the God of this Bible has blessed you. Now we see their conduct. It wasn't the food, it was the appetite. Man, God is so good, He rained to them. Angels fed. Next time you sit down at a meal, you remember Kroger didn't make that. God just allowed them to sell it. Conduct of the people. Number two, the curse of the people. Look what God done. A lot of people think God's not serious. Look what it said in verse 6 and 7. What happened? They went to complain in a mother grub to Him, and the Lord sent. Not Pharaoh. You know, I hear all these liberals on TV. You remember when them planes flew in our towers? Well, I want to ask you something. Did you ever see that happen to America in the 40s or 50s? These liberal talk show hosts, they say, well, all of these fundamental preachers, they're a bunch of people haters, and God's not like that. They better read their Bible. You listen, America. Listen, you don't shake your fist in the face of God and get away with it. God is reverend. God is holy. God is supreme. And He don't take back seat to nobody or nothing. And the Lord sent. Now, you cry now, what you going to do if the Lord reacts on your cry? You think you got it bad now. You just wait till He reacts on your action. The Lord sent fiery serpents. You know what they were? Snakes. Look where He sent them, among the people. And then they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned. You know what? So I want to say something right here. The Lord's feeding me with it. I've got an outline. I'm not even able to use it this morning. I want to tell you something. Y'all listen to your preacher now. Listen. We may be pissed. I want you to listen. And the Lord said unto Moses, but in verse 7, they came to Moses and said, we've sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray the Lord that He'd take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. What's it going to take you? What's it going to take for God to sin to get your attention? Wouldn't it be easier if you'd just mind Him and obey? Wouldn't it just be easier on you and your family? Let me ask you this. How many of them people in that family died because somebody in the family was rebellious? Listen, it does matter how we act. Some of the people rebelled against God and His leadership, and God sent something to get their attention, and many people died. It does matter how... Listen, sir. It does matter you going out yonder in a pickup truck or a car drinking. and you run over somebody and kill them, it not only affects you, but it affects that family and it affects them young'uns you're to raise. What about that wife God's entrusted you with? And I know you say, well, a couple of beers ain't bad. Well, a couple of beers will lead to four or five. That's just like school teaching you young girls safe sex. It's no such thing. The Bible teaches abstinence till you're married. But our liberal politicians, nothing's wrong no more, see? What's it going to take to get your attention? You think it's bad now. What you going to do when God chastises you? Let me tell you, and I want to say this with all my heart and all my soul, it's hard enough in this life living right without asking God to bring something on us to get our attention. And you better believe this. In Hebrews chapter number 12, the Bible teaches us that He chastises every child that belongs to Him. You know why I've never spanked my neighbor's kids? They wouldn't mind. But buddy, I'd tear mine up. And a rabbit just got up right there. Some of you need to get back to that. Time out ain't working. Well, we see a conduct, and now we see a curse. Now watch this curse. There was an infliction because of actions in verse 6. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. Much people of Israel died. There was an infliction because of actions. I wonder how much better our country could be if it honored God. Y'all know what I had in the first grade? A lady had a King James Bible and a paddle on her lap, and I was scared of both of them. Bad use it. But there was an infliction because of actions. Do you understand this? Judgment came because of actions. America cannot get away from the judgment of God. We've killed 55 million babies. And you think God's just going to laugh at all that? We've condoned homosexuality in such a way that now it's just fine. God says it's an abomination. We don't hate homosexuals. It's sin. It's like the sin of drunkenness or the sin of adultery. It's a sin that God says it's an abomination. Did you know in a town in Bowdoin, Georgia, last month this happened? We've got 2,100 population in this town. Did you know there were two same gender parents came in female in a store, had a child, and one of those children looked up at that woman and called her daddy? Now I'm going to tell you something. If men of God don't get back to preaching this Bible. I'm not talking about a hate gospel. I'm talking about educating the people. Brother Randy, you know why in the ball game we don't see a generation doing this? They ain't been taught. We're taught, stand up out of your seats now. We're going to say the national anthem, pledge to the flag, put your hand over your heart, is what the teacher said. I didn't learn that out there on the dairy farm. Somebody had to teach. You know why a generation is doing the way we do it? It ain't their fault. They ain't been taught nothing. They've not been taught nothing. And that's why in this church we're to teaching a generation about the things of God. Can I ask y'all something? Where did quilting go? Is there any ladies in this room can make a quilt? Two or three? What about churning butter? Anybody know how to make old-timey butter? but y'all dying out. What do you say? I'm trying to get a light to come on. This new generation, they know about all these praise bands and an NIV Bible. But what about that NIV Bible where they left out the most important verse? It's a big difference between a virgin and a young lady. Somebody's got to stand up and teach a generation that's coming along. And this is the bad thing. Most of them can't drive to get here. Bear with me. There's the curse, the infliction because of actions. And that's what I dread for my little old grand young'uns and your young'uns this morning. Then little old young'uns come around and put their money in this bucket. They're going to face things, men, you've never seen. It's pitiful. Saddening. What's going to happen when these baggy britches crowd has to go protect our country and Lord, they don't even know how to load a gun? Well, gun control. Let's get everybody's gun. Well, let me tell you, it ain't the gun's issue. Pencil misspells words. We're going to ban pencils? Cars kill people. Cars don't kill. Ain't never one of them cars out yonder killing nobody. It's when you get in them act crazy when they kill people. Curse of the people. There was an infliction because of actions. Do you understand that? They was hurting because what they done. They wasn't hurting before they got to acting crazy. So we might ought to quit blaming God and quit to saying, Lord, help me to do right. Infliction because of actions. Then infection because of abrasions. They got bit. So I want to tell you something. In Romans 5 and 12, now I want to put the gospel in on this story. And I want to bring this message to an end. I want you to see this. Now this curse of the people, there was an infliction because of actions, but there's infection because of abrasions. This is where I'm going to. Romans 5, verse number 12. Wherefore as by one man sin, it entered into the world and death passed by sin. And so death passed upon men for that all have sinned. You know what our problem is? There became an infection because of abrasions. Adam and Eve got bit. And it plunged mankind into total depravity. You don't have to teach your children to lie. They'll pick up on that. You ever notice you don't have to teach yourself to throw a fit? It comes natural. We're depraved. We have a nature that's depraved. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Because we can run our bloodline and our heritage all the way back to that garden and everybody will go all the way back there. And that's where man fell in the garden. Because of the infection because of an abrasion. It bit the people, and so death passed on men. That's what happened this. Not only the infliction because of actions and infection because of abrasions, but there was instruction because of affection. And the Lord said, look what happened now. I love this. In this, just like our good God in verse number 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that's bitten, when he looketh upon, he shall live. Aren't you glad God come up with the cure? You know what he said? One look's all it took. Now, y'all watch this. I'm going to give you a nugget right here. This is a representation of the gospel. How the devil went back into the garden and there he deceived Eve. Adam was not deceived. He gave in to Eve. And God said, the day that you do, you're going to die. He said, I let you be born to live forever because you mess with the devil. Now you're going to die, and guess what? Adam died. Jesus comes on the scene and he says, I've got a cure. Something happened a long time ago. He said, I've got a cure. Now watch this. Look who he told it to. He told it to Moses. Didn't Moses have the law? The law didn't fix it, did it? Do you know the law won't fix your sin problem? Because we can't live by the law. There's good people here. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make a statement. It may come back to bite me. They some of the greatest people here I've ever met in my life. But the law couldn't fix us. Paul said, I was doing pretty good, but when I seen the law, I realized how wicked I was. He said, I just couldn't live by the law. There was a rich young ruler come to Jesus, and he said, what must I do to be saved, Lord? Paraphrase. Lord said, live by the law. He said, all them I've kept from a youth up. Well, he lied right there. And Jesus said, okay. If you sow your halo so bright and high, go sell what you got and give the poor and come back and see me. And he walked away with his head down. You know why? Because he had something in his heart that the law told him not to have. So the law couldn't fix it. Moses had the law. But the law won't fix our problem. Just Calvary. Now I want to show you this about this cure. There was a source for the cure. It was the thought up by God. Isn't it amazing, like Brother Randy said this morning? I can understand you loving me and me loving you. And I can understand me giving my life for my children and my grandchildren. It's no option I'd give my life for them. And my wife, no option. And I love y'all. I love y'all. Say, we love you too, preacher. I love y'all, but I'm just going to be real honest with you. I don't know that I'd take a bullet for nary one of you. I think a lot of me, boy. I wouldn't say that. Okay, hon. Come take one for the team, the 18th. Come on. But God loved us so much, He sent His Son. While we're smoking weed, acting crazy. Running around, waking up. We didn't even know how we got there. And the hand of God had us protected. Boy, I sure am glad he had a cure, aren't you? God, thank you for a cure. We see the source of the cure. God thought it. We see the strangeness of the cure. It was a strange plan. But you know, the Bible says that the foolishness of preaching said it's strange to those that know not God. The sufficiency of the cure. Underline this. I love what it said right there. Verse 9. Any man. I like that gospel. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ain't you glad we got a whosoever gospel and a whosoever God this morning? Any man when he is bit. Well, didn't some die? They sure did. Let me ask you something. You know why they died? One of two reasons. Either they didn't get the message or they didn't act on the message they received. The gospel's only good news if it gets there in time. Boy, I'm glad it's a cure for all. And then you'll notice not only the sufficiency of that cure, but the singularity of that cure. The serpent of brass was the only means of life. And Jesus is still the only means of life. The simplicity of the cure, when he looked upon it, even weak in faith that they could just look at it,
just weak in faith. They could just. You say, preacher, I got to have great faith to be saved. No, you don't. Just a little faith. Matter of fact, I heard tell. I read it in the Bible, and I believe it. There's one fella in there said, Lord, if you can do all things, do it for me. Sound like to me he is doubting a little bit. And the Lord said, I'm going to do that for you. You don't have to have big faith to get saved. Just look that way. Then we see the suddenness of it in verse 9. They didn't have to wait for days to see if it happened. I'm glad the day the Lord saved me, I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. I ain't got to wait for something else to come and happen. As many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. Then watch this, verse 9, the stipulation of the cure. When He beheld, it was not by proxy. Each person had to look for themselves. You know, if you can't go vote, you can send somebody to vote for you if you sign a card. But not salvation. Can't nobody do it but you. Some of you say, well, my wife's saved, my husband's saved. Why don't you get saved? Because that's the only way you're going to heaven if you get saved. Then the supporting of the cure. It was set on a pole. And then lastly, there's the Savior of the cure. Jesus talked about it all the way back to that passage. Miss Julie, if you and Brother Tim had come. And John chapter number 3, verse number 14. Bible said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It's pretty simple, is it not? I wrote this down. One of the men I was studying after, this is what he said. It's a great statement. I often wondered why that serpent of brass. Why? And he gave me the correlation of that. And I wrote it down. I never want to forget it. It said, by a serpent they'd been bitten. So by one in the form of a serpent, they must be healed. Through man came death. By man also came justification of life, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man plunged us into depravity, but the God-man brought us life. God put Him on a cross. I want to ask y'all something. What you need in your life? You're discouraged because of the way, come ask Him to help you. God set my heart afire where it's been before. Well, Brother Tim sang that song a while ago, there's a fountain. I'm so... Ain't it amazing, y'all, when we're bit, we can just look back toward Calvary. Say, Lord, You suffered a lot more than we have. Lord, You died for me, and I want to live for You. Lord, You made a way that we all could look and live. Sinner, can I bring it now to a close and tell you this? You can look and live this morning. You'll have to look by faith. What God has done for you, He lifted it up. That cross still saves. The man of the cross. Stand with us all around the house. What's your number, Brother Tim? 379. I want to listen.